Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And here in this book, it has so much. For the church, for our own lives, here we can just see a clear picture of how, get this turned on here. Clear picture. We get a clear picture here of how we should start our new year. And so start here in chapter number 4 of the book of Ephesians. We'll jump down to verse number 17. We'll go to, we'll start in 17. Okay, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity you've given me this morning and tonight to be able to preach your word. I no way am worthy of it, dear Lord, but just like Paul said, you've called us to do this and to walk worthily of the calling that you've given us, dear Lord. And I just pray this morning that I'd be able to walk worthily through you, dear Lord, and that you'd give me the words to say, you'd give me the message that you've given in my heart and be able to present it clearly to these people, dear Lord, and to everyone here, that they just might be able to grow in you, dear Lord, and to be able to start off their new year trusting you and being able to put all their faith in you, dear Lord. I just pray this morning you'd get my own pride out of the way, my own wants and desires, dear Lord, but just be able to do your will through me, dear Lord. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. And so, what feels like more of a fresh start to the year, well, to, you know, your life as a new year? A new year feels like a new opportunity, a new way that you can start doing things a little bit differently than you did in the years past. You took some things, you learned some things, now you're ready to be able to learn from your mistakes and get a new jump. And that's where all our resolutions come in. We get so many resolutions and then they fall short. But here, we can see that we have the words right here to be able to have our new spirit renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we know in our own minds, in our own selves, we don't have anything good. The Bible says that we are empty in mind. Just like without God, we have nothing. We are empty in mind. We don't have any way of going. We have empty soul, and we're longing for the thing that only the God who created everything can give. We're longing for that. We're searching everywhere for it, but there's only one true way, and that's by learning the truth that Jesus is the one that can give us that want that we have been longing for, that sense of, you know, being able to move forward and being able to have hope and peace, that there's a better way, the better way of living life, a better way of doing things. And so being able to start the new year, we can just realize that we have the God who created all things on our side. We have so much right here in the Bible that if we would just read and take it into consideration, be able to meditate on it, it's all right here for us. If we would just be able to read it and take it and apply it to our lives, that's all he wants us to do, is read his word and be able to get into it. And the Lord will show himself more. And so oftentimes we can see Somebody says this is good, so we try it out for a little bit. Somebody says this is good, and we try it out for a little bit. But we learn the more we get into it, it holds no water. It doesn't have any true depth like only the Lord can give. And we start getting lost. Like the Bible says, as children, we keep being tossed to and fro with every doctrine a man brings to us. But there's only one truth here. There's only one truth, one God, that can show us this way. And to be able to put on the new man, we must first realize, as verse number 24 says, that we must be after God. We must be, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are not first. God is first. God is always first. And so many times we get caught up in our resolutions trying to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No. God is going to do something for you. There's only one thing that you need to do is just put your trust that God will fill your needs, that God will do what you need to do to be able to move forward. The resolution needs to be that I will be second, I will be last, and God will be first. So we have to see here, we need to realize that we are after God. And also after, in a sense, we need to constantly be after God. Constantly be wanting to grow closer to Him. Constantly be after all the love that He can give to us. Constantly wanting to be learning more every day about God. And this is, but we know that in our fleshly state, no good thing can come of ourselves. And it's always going to be directly opposite to what God wants if you're relying on your own judgment, on your own. Our fleshly nature that has been cursed unto this world is always going to be directly opposite to what God wants you to do. And the sooner that we realize in this new year that God has all control, that God can do everything that we need Him to do, that we need for ourselves, that is where we can start to see that we will grow and become the Christians that God wants us to be, because we can only grow and learn more about God by putting ourselves after Him. When we start seeing ourselves after God and chasing after Him, that's when God starts to let you know more about what He wants for your life. That's when God starts to fill you with the hope and the peace that only He can give. You have to have the desire to be after God, the desire to want to know God, the desire to put yourself below Him and to be able to give over your wills and your needs to God's needs. And that's when we start to see God fill us up with what He wants to give us. And isn't that much better, given what God wants for us instead of what we want on ourselves? We just get caught up in so many things. It's such a hard point. You know, we're selfish. We're all selfish. I deal with it so much. And that's when I know I should be reading my Bible. Oh, but I need to do something else. And there's just things that we have to be able to prioritize. God is the most important. He is the most important. And until we start putting Him first, everything else should be second. So not only ourselves, but anything else that has drawn us away from God should be second. And anything else that we might be thinking would promote ourselves or any other person, that is second to what God would have. We here are on earth, but God is the one who created all things. God is the one that has all power. And when we allow God to take control, He fills us with His righteousness and true holiness. The righteousness that God brings. The righteousness that He has. The one that died on the cross for our sins, that took the weight of every sin upon Him. He's the one that we're trusting in here. And the more we're after God, the more He will reveal to us, and the closer we'll be to Him. And then we'll move over here. But like any New Year's resolution, like I said, we always seem to fall short, and we start to just give up on it, say, you know, this, you know, we tried it and it wasn't really working. But here's goals. Here's keys to preserving the new man. Right here in chapter number 4. There is so much right here, just in the book of Ephesians alone. And if you just would start doing some of this stuff, this is one tiny little book of the Bible. But imagine if you start applying everything else that the Bible has. And we'll start here in verse number 25. Paul starts off right after saying to put on the new man. We put away lying. We put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Lying does no good. We might think we're saving somebody's feelings, we're sparing somebody's feelings, but all lying does ever is break trust, and it brings anger eventually. Lying is never going to be the answer. And the Bible says it plain and clear right here. And to speak truth with our neighbors. And we know neighbors should be everyone, because we're called, every man is our neighbor, everyone that we love. The definition of neighbor here is the ones we love. And so we are to love everyone as God has commanded. And to be able to speak every man truth with his neighbor, not just, you know, the people in our church. The people in our church aren't just our neighbors. The people that we're coming to worship with aren't just our neighbors. But every man that's out there in the world, every man we are supposed to speak truth with, and to be able to have our conversations clean, and to be able to trust. Trust is a huge thing. To be able to trust someone, then you start to be able to build relationships with them. When people outside of the church start to be able to trust us, then we start to be able to share the Lord more with them and more with them. We start to be able to witness more with them. They start to get used to us. We'll be able to build relationships that we can see move in and be able to show people the love that Jesus gives to us. And so lying should never be part of us. We should never be known as a liar. And the next verse, number 26, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so this kind of is weird wording here, be ye angry and sin not. He's saying, you know, we're going to fail. We're in our fleshly state. We're going to get angry at some things. There's sometimes some things are just going to tick us off real bad. But the thing is that it's what we do with our anger. The anger, it does start in the mind, and it's a sin. We should ask forgiveness from our anger. But it's what we act on with our anger. If we start to sin to another man, if we start doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but out of anger, we just do it. That's when it starts to become a huge problem. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We shouldn't be able to go to bed angry. You've heard that all the time. Never go to bed angry with your wife or spouse or whatever. But it's like that with any person. You need to get things settled as soon as you know there's a problem. As soon as you come to the realization that you have sinned to this other man, and you've gone angry, and you've sinned against him, when that sin takes place and you start to act on that anger, you need to be able to realize and immediately ask forgiveness and be able to settle that as soon as it happens. Because if we start to just realize that we can, you know, settle down and be able to take care of things, if we put away our own pride, if we put away our own, you know, our own desires and be able to just go and settle it, it would make things so much simpler. We would, you know, we wouldn't have these long grudges that go on forever. Grudges that just build and build up and build up. And, you know, it would be a lot easier if you just took care of it then. But because of our own pride, we just didn't settle it. And then things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. But the next point is neither give place to the devil. And we know the devil is the father of lies. Just like how we're not supposed to have lying in any part of us, the devil is the father of lies. He's the one that fills us with all these things. And if we give place to, you know, the devil sneaks in so many little ways. Anything that takes you away from the will of God, that's the devil working in your life. It may not seem like a bad thing. You know, it may be just doing a little bit of side work or something, and it just takes you away little bit by little bit. The devil starts, once you let the devil in a little bit, he's going to start inch and more. He starts to get a little more comfortable with it. And you say, all right, yeah, we'll do this. You know, just it's not too much. And then it's just a little bit by little bit. And the devil starts to take precedent in your life. Not the devil per se, but the things that he's put into your life. And it starts taking you away. And this is just the devil trying to get you away from God. Trying to get you away from what God would have for your life. And it just starts creeping in. And before we know it, we're out of church. We're out doing whatever we want. And this is the devil that's filled this with our own self and desires. And this is just how the devil can take control of our lives here. And in this new year, we are to never give place to the devil in our lives. Never. And it's just a simple thing. Never give place to the devil. But it's also very complicated when you think about how many things the devil can creep in, how many different ways the devil can creep in. But thank the Lord, we have the true answer right here in his word. But I'll move on to the next point here. Let him that stole steal no more. If we're able to work, we got to work. And if we're going to steal and take what is other people's, that is directly opposite to what God would have for our lives. Provide for those who can't provide. When we see a need, we need to be able to, if we're blessed by the Lord to be able to work, we'll be able to provide abundant more than ourselves more times than not, are we not? And so we'll be able to provide other people when they are in a need, because some people can't provide for themselves. Some people don't have the means to make things, to even feed themselves sometimes. And we need to be able to be readily available to be able to provide when the Lord asks us to provide for those who have a need. And when we work, we also for our own families, because the Bible says if you don't work for your family and provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. We must work to both provide for those in physical need and also for those in spiritual need who can't provide for themselves. We have the light. We're blessed enough to be able to be born, some of us in a Christian family, but now even all of us here are in church. We're hearing the word. We're hearing the word of God spoken straight into us. Some people don't have that privilege. Some people are born in third world countries that have never even heard the word of God spoken to them before in their entire lives. We have a calling to be able to present the gospel to those who haven't been fortunate enough to get it shown to them before. And when we don't provide, we don't work in the ministry that God has called us in, then we are not being able to provide what God has called for us and be able to provide for those who can't provide. But the next point here, verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to be able to speak with clean conversation in ourselves. This is another way to preserve, just to keep our conversations clean, because we are an example. If you call yourself a Christian, we're an example. In that way, we need to be the example to the world that we have a different way. We're different. We have a different way of talking. We have a different way of doing things, and that we're not going to be like the rest of the world. We're going to keep our conversations clean, but also in the sense that we need to keep our conversation clean and to be able to talk in a kind and loving way to our brethren, even in our church, to edify the brethren, not to draw us apart. We need to be able to keep ourselves together, because the church is where we start to see all the things that God would have for us. We start to get together and everybody starts to see the Lord moving in different ways. If we're not edifying the brethren, then it all falls apart. And we can't see the moving of the Lord in the church as we would want to see it. But then, because we're supposed to be examples like Christ, the example, the almighty example. If we have an example given to us plainly and clearly in the Bible as Jesus, and we don't follow it, can you just imagine how foolish that is to be able to have everything that you need to live by? He showed us how to live right here. If you don't live by that, and the example that he gives, it's just foolish to be able to, you have everything right here in front of you where you need it. But next point in verse number 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It all goes along. It all goes along, edifying the brethren, keeping our communication clean. We need to be able to forgive, just like God forgave us. You think about how many times we mess up. How many times we've done just a little thing that we know we shouldn't have done. But God, as soon as we ask, it's forgiven. And this is how we're called to be with the brethren that we are close to in the church, and with everyone. Be long-suffering. Not everyone is going to come to know God just like that. Some people are going to take a little bit more time. Some people are going to take a little bit deeper relationship with them to be able to get them closer to the Lord. But to be long-suffering, to be kind, this is how we're going to start seeing results. This is how we're going to start seeing a close-knit family in the Lord. We're going to see everyone come together and be able to do the will of the Lord for us. But I'm going to jump back to verse number 1. When we put on the new man and draw close to God, he will make known his calling for us. Verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We are to walk worthily, and we can't do this on our own. We know this. We have nothing good inside of us on our own. But through the Lord, through his holiness, his righteousness, we can walk worthy, because every one of us has some sort of calling that is for the furtherance of his kingdom. It might take a little bit longer for you to figure it out. It might take a little bit more of an in-depth look into the Lord and a little bit more of a closer relationship for him to really reveal to you. But I promise you, if you start to get into the Word of God, you start to build up your relationship and you start to see that you're growing closer to the Lord, he will start revealing more and more unto you. And you will start to see that the Lord has something for you. The Lord has something for everyone. And once you figured it out, you're to walk worthily of it. You're to be an example of what you should be in the place of in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God here on earth. And we are to walk with all lowliness, verse number 2, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We are second. God is first. Lowliness and meekness. To be able to realize that nothing good is in us is the first step. And to be able to walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, like I said before, one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This keeps the unity all together when we do what we're called to do, when we do what God has given us. It keeps the unity of us together. But for the furtherance of a kingdom, he will make it known unto you. But there, the one and only God, he is the one that is caring for you. And just remember that whenever you start to get discouraged, whenever you start to get, you know, a little bit tired and a little bit weary, just remember that the God who created everything, the God who has made all things new unto you if you just accept it, the God who is in control of everything, the God who does everything that you need him to do, is caring for you. He's in you. Verse number 6, the one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God is in us. The one, the only God, the one, the only God is in us. That just is so crazy to think about. The God who created everything, the God who has control all over all things. He cares about me. He cares about you. He cares about us all. He cares about everyone that has ever been born on the face of this earth. You think about all the trillions of people that have lived on this earth, and you just imagine all the people he's got to care for, but he does. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants to be able to get to know you like a friend, that is closer than a brother. He wants to be able to fill your life with joy. He wants to be able to fill your life with peace. All you have to do is let him. All you have to do is accept it. He'll renew the spirit of your mind. He'll fill you with what you need, with what you've been longing for deep down inside. He'll fill you with it. And Christian, if you don't know what God has done for you, if you don't know the grace God has given to us, the grace to all men, not just one man, but to all men, the grace he's given, if you don't know that, I pray that through this message today, you'd be able to get just a little bit of an understanding. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to say there is...